ask you to pray for us tonight. As we try to do, as Trent Stan preached the message, the Lord will just help us, and our church will be what He'd have it to be. We could stand before Him one day and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, we'll begin reading with verse 1. Someone next to you doesn't have a Bible, you might want to share yours with them. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 1. All right, let's read this scripture tonight. Look at 1 Chronicles 29 and verse number 1. Furthermore, David, the king, said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. Now you think about that. Hold your place, sir, just a second. You think about the task that this young man Solomon had on his shoulders. The Bible said the work was great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold. They're talking about building the temple here. The Lord inhabited in the Old Testament. For things to be made of gold, and the silver of things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Let's read that last part of that verse again. And who then is willing? Who's willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I want to preach to you on that question tonight. Who is willing to work for God? Who is willing to work for God? Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You for our health and our strength. Thank You for all the many blessings of life, God, that You've given us. Lord, we know that You've given us a job to do. You've given us work to accomplish and labor to toil at. God, we realize that our rest is coming when we get to glory. Father, we know that we'll sit down beside the river of life and rest for a million years if we want to. But God, help us while we're here to labor and work and do the will of God. I thank You for our church. Thank You for what has been done. Thank You for what You're going to do. Thank You, God, for what You are doing. I pray, oh God, You'd bless us tonight. Bless Brother Dale as he preaches and other preachers. God, I pray the Holy Ghost may come and do a work in our midst. God, illuminate our mind, loose our tongue, that we may declare the Word of God without fear, without favor, without compromise tonight, God, that souls may be saved, lives may be changed, we may get the job done that You've called us to do. Have Thine own way in this service. Do what needs to be done, and we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach to you on a question tonight. Who is willing to work for God? Who do we have that's willing to say, I'll work for the Lord Jesus Christ? Many times we sit and soak up the blessings. We appreciate what all God's done for us. Oh, how thankful we are we're saved, not going to hell. A lot of times that we're not even thankful enough to make us go to work for God. I agree 1,000% for grace you're saved through faith, and it's not of works. Nobody believes that any stronger than I do in Ephesians 2:8. That's perfect and final and settled. And I know that's the truth. I tell you, we ought to say like the poem writer said one time, I cannot work my soul to save, for that my Lord hath done. But I can work like any slave for the love of God's dear Son. We ought to love Him enough to work for Him tonight. We're not working because we're trying to work enough to get to heaven. We're working because we love Him and we are going to heaven. And this world's not our home. And we have got a work to do. Now I'm going to say some good things about us and some bad things about us. I notice in the Bible when Paul preached, and he'd write to one of those churches, and John in the book of Revelation, he'd say, he'd tell them all their good parts first. He'd say, this thou hast, if thou hast a little strength, and hast not denied my name and kept the faith. And he'd tell them all, he said, but nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. And he'd tell them the good points, and he'd tell them the bad points. Now, by a lot of standards tonight, we're doing pretty good. As far as the world measures churches. And in a lot of ways, we are doing good. And I thank God for what He's done for us. Sometimes I think we ain't as do as good as I think we're at other times. And sometimes I think we're about ready to blow the kingdom come. And other times I think we're really going good. And in a lot of ways, God's been good to us. He has blessed us. But then in a lot of other ways, we're not doing so good. In a lot of other things, ways we ought to be doing a lot more. In a lot of other ways, we ought to be doing a lot more serious about serving God and the work that God's given us to do. Here in this scripture that I read to you tonight, David is encouraging the people to build or help Solomon build the temple. And God wants His people to be willing to work. Not forced, not made, but be willing to work. If you'll notice in the book of Exodus, when they were building the tabernacle, and when they were building the temple, the Lord always said, He didn't say you have to bring this, have to bring that. He said if you're of a willing mind or a willing heart, and if whatever you want to bring, just bring it. Whatever we do for God, the Lord wants us to do it because we want to. And when we're willingly serving Him, that's the difference between a Bible-believing church and some kind of cult. In some kind of cult, they make you do this and they make you do that. And you have to do something or another and you have to do this or that. But when God's Word, God wants tells you what He wants done. And if you love Him enough, you'll do it. Jesus said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. If you don't keep his words, you don't love him. You can say you love him. You can sing you love him. You can preach you love him. But if you don't do what he said, you don't love him. And so the Bible tells us here that we're to be willing. First of all, tonight I want to say, who is willing to work on the house of God? The people brought the gold and the silver and they donated it to build the house of God. They sure did. I preached on the ants the other night down at Abie's Chapel, and I told them about how they ought to work, and I didn't get it all out or something, and you were getting the overspill of it tonight. I believe that we ought to work, and I'm going to talk about working tonight. I'm going to talk about getting to work for God. I tell you, I can shout on the grace. And there's two words that make you shout every time you hear them, grace and blood. I mean, you can shout on them too. But brother, while we're on our way, we ought to work like a dog for what God's done for us. And lifting us and keeping us out of hell. We ought to work, pull our shirt off in sweat and go to work for God in this old world that we're living in. And brother, these people, they brought the gold and the silver and they donated it. Now briefly, let me say right here, most of you already know, you've heard me say this before and it ain't going to be a shock to you, but if you're new here, it may be a shock to you. You know how come we don't have yard sales? You know how come we don't bake cakes and let the ladies sell them? You know how come we don't put out a bunch of things and sell a bunch of rags for the sinners that we won't even wear ourselves? You know how come we don't do that? Because that is not God's plan for financing the church. It never has been. Can you imagine them getting over here in Canaan's land and going to build this great big temple and the children of Israel getting together and going back over here in Egypt and putting up a little sign and trying to sell cupcakes to the Egyptians to help poor old God build him a house, and he ain't got enough money to pay for it and he can't support it? That sure does make our God look awful little in the eyes of the world. You say, well, I know so-and-so do it, and they're a good church. This ain't so-and-so. This ain't that church. It's this church. Amen. And if somebody else does it, that's between them and God. If they can do it with a clear conscience, that's all. If that's what they want to do, that's all right with me. But, brother, that's the reason we don't do it here, is because these people, out of their own pockets, donated the silver and the gold, and that's how the work of God was financed. Amen. If you want to make me mad, mention two things. Having a yard sale and starting a ball team. We ain't in the selling business. And we ain't in the recreation business. We're in the regenerating business.
Man told me, they called me and said, you ought to get a ball team and all this stuff. And I like to play ball just as good as anybody. But the brother of the Holy Ghost told me, he said, man, you better stay away from that church outfit. Man, they'll cuss and raise Cain. They get in tight. And the women are at each other's foot. I've seen them women at them church ball games. You probably seen, you have seen, they'll get up there. And kill umpire and all that stuff, boy. And they'll come to church and you couldn't get a holy grunt out of that crowd. They wouldn't come to visitation if their life depended on it. And I want to know you to know these people. They brought it right out of what they had. And the silver and the gold. And brought it and built God's house. Now if there's a man walked in here from out down the street here. Matter of fact, this happened before. And give us $100 to help build a church. You know what I'd do? I'd take it. Somebody wants to willingly give something. But you know where most of the support, or about all the support of God's work, right out of the people that come here. That's where it's got to come from. Listen, folks. Lord, we're thinking about building a home pretty soon. We ain't even got what we got finished. We're already building a home. I don't know if we'll ever get finished. If God keeps blessing, we'll never get finished. I hope He does. I don't know if we're really worthy to build on right now. We ain't been seeing many people saved lately. Had somebody get right the other night on visitation, but lately we ain't seen enough people saved to get start building. And we ought to start seeing the more people saved and then begin to build the house of God. And if we begin to build, say like back here somewhere, you know who's going to foot the bill, don't you? Me and you. We ought to have to be willing to sacrifice. We're going to have to be willing to do more than our share if we love the house of God like we ought to. I don't know about this outfit that they've got carpet that thick in their house. And they've got chandeliers and they drive a Cadillac with air conditioning. And they expect the church to be some kind of rundown dump about to fall in, brother. And you got an outside toilet and everything else. I believe if we've got carpet in our home, we ought to have it in God's house. If we've got running water in our house, we ought to have it in God's house. If we live in a hut, we'll have church in a hut. But the house of God ought to be at least as good as the houses that people live in. My soul. And here tonight I'm trying to tell you that if we are going to have to sacrifice when things need to be done. Now listen, folks, there is no shortcut to building a church. We could start a bunch of junk and have famous quartets and all that stuff and get a bunch, you know, we'd get people in like that, but you wouldn't have nothing but a bunch of people that raise the devil all the time when you got them. And that ain't the way to build a church. There's no substitute for hard work. I told the preachers and the people down there at the service the other night, there's a lot of preachers got the idea. I reckon they think they're such a great preacher. I don't know. But they've got the idea that all you've got to do is go out and get you a building and stick up a sign that says church and all of a sudden people come in and fill it up. Brother, you got a shot coming and I ain't kidding you. Brother, you don't stick up no sign and say church and people just fill it. It just don't work that way. You've got to sweat, brother. You have flat got to put some work into it. And if you're not willing to work, you'll never do nothing for God. You never will. I tell you, it's pitiful. It's pitiful. It's pitiful how lazy some of God's people are. It's a shame. It's pitiful, brother. I tell you, somebody said one time that success was 5% education and 95% perspiration. When a man's a success, it's because he's willing to sweat it out, brother, and work like a dog. Somebody told Mr. Moody one time, they come up to D.L. Moody, and they said, Mr. Moody, 14 years ago, you was preaching, and I got saved. Mr. Moody said, well, that's good. What have you done since? I tell a lot of people, they all talk about all this and that, what happened a long time ago, and we ought to do nothing wrong with that, but I want to know, what have you done since you've been saved? They only think standing on the promises, and all they want to do is sit on the premises. They're too lazy to make their own dandruff, brother. I told them down there the other night, hey, some of God's people so lazy that they'd drive their car to the bathroom if a door was wide enough to get it in. They think everything in the world's dirty because they're too lazy to wipe their glasses. That's what's wrong with them. Lazy! I told about old Brother Troy down there in the meeting the other night. And he amazed me. I was in a revival down in South Carolina. And brother, they had the big day. And they had a big day where they worked and they worked and they worked. And they tried to get people in. And they're trying to double the attendance and all that stuff. And that little church runs 60 in Sunday school. And that Sunday morning, they had 150. Everybody in the church got out and worked, brother, and they made phone calls. He had people visit on Saturday 10 hours. Some of them up until 10 o'clock at night, just going and knocking on doors. You know what's the matter with us sometimes? We get to thinking, glory to God, we're fastest growing church in McDowell County. We're spiritual. We can come in. Hey, some of them little old churches out there will put some of us to shame when it comes to going to work for God Almighty. And brother, these people cared about souls. And the preacher got up that night and he was going to recognize who had brought the most visitors. And he was going to, you know, so-and-so to try to encourage people. And there's nothing wrong with that if it's done all right, I guess. And brother, he said, oh, so-and-so, this little girl, she brought 10, and some other young lady, she brought 12. And he said, now the man that brought the most visitors. And I thought, well, who in the world going to be? And I was looking around for some super saint, you know, some super duper spiritual guy, you know, with a Bible, you know, and I figured he'd be. And you know who it was? The little old fella that I was staying with in the trailer house, or in the double wide trailer house. And brother, I stayed with him, and his name was old Troy. And old Troy, he had been a drunk about all his life, and he just got saved about 2 years ago. And he said he only had one lung, and he couldn't hardly walk. And he sat there, and he'd sit there all day long, just like this. And he made phone calls, and when he walked with a cane. And brother, he's just a sweet old man, but he just barely get around. And when the preacher that night said, who brought the most visitors? He said, Brother Troy, Brodgen. And he brought Brother Troy up front, and he said, this man, now hold your seatbelt. He said, this man brought 40 visitors to church this Sunday morning. On one Sunday morning, a man with one lung brought 40 visitors to the house of God. And they didn't give him a sucker. They didn't give him anything. They had 40 visitors. And when he said that, I hung my head and said, Lord, I ain't got no business preaching. They ought to let Brother Troy preach. And I began to feel ashamed of myself. And I thought about the many times I could have went out there and got somebody to come. I could have knocked on doors. But that old flesh will give you every kind of a low-down excuse in the world to keep from working for God. Oh, brother, I tell you, we're in a bad shape. And old Troy, he brought 40 visitors. And he told me that day, he said, Brother Danny, don't you pray for me that I can quit these cigarettes he smoked. And he said, pray for me that I can quit. He said, that's the only thing I do is wrong. I might not have should have said it. I said that night, I said, son, you bring 40 visitors to church and you can smoke like a freight train for all I care. And y'all understand me, don't you? I'm not saying it's all right to smoke. I believe it's wrong to smoke. I really do. I believe it's wrong. I believe it hurts your body, hurts your testimony, and it's wrong. Don't you think I said it was all right. If you twist, you'll be a liar. But I'd rather have a man that smoked and brought 40 people to church and got them saved than them super sanctified so-and-so that never did do nothing wrong, but never did do nothing right either. And I'm not saying it's all right for you to keep on. You ought to quit. If you smoke them dirty things, you ought to quit. Even if you ain't even saved, you ought to quit. They'll kill you. I said that to say this. Brother, I tell you, I appreciate a man that'll get out and do something for Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you that we need to go to work. Who's willing to work for the house of God? When we begin to work, when we begin to build this building, it's going to take a lot of help. We ain't rich, you know. Brother, it's going to take a lot of... I appreciate a man, Brother Amos, told me... He told me that he'd do the work and not even charge us for it. Contractor. That's better than some of God's people will do you. Amen. Too lazy. I know some people, they're in love with St. Mattress. They don't never get nothing done. You say, well, Brother Danny, we're in the last days. You can't build a church nowadays. I wish you hadn't told me that. I thought you could. I thought the Lord could do anything until I got around to all these people dispensationally figured it out. It couldn't be done this day and time. They want to sit around and study all the time and learn deeper truths and all that stuff. I tell you, we'd do a lot better if we'd leave off a lot of the deeper truths and knock on some doors and build a house of God. And when the Lord comes back, we'll have some souls to go with us. That's what's wrong with our country tonight, brother. We need dirty fingernails and cleaner minds. Amen. We've got clean fingernails and dirty minds. We need some cleaner fingernails or cleaner minds and dirty fingernails. I tell you, everybody's wanting the gifts of the Spirit these days. You ought to get that in 1 Corinthians 12:28 called helps. Boy, I wonder how come them Holy Ghost people ain't seeking after the gift of help. You know why? Because we are living in a day of religious showmanship. Everybody wants to go back and rattle off so everybody will think they're spiritual. I don't care how much you blabber off. Show me. I'd like to see somebody get up here and say, "Oh Lord, give me the gift of helps." You don't hear them pray about that much, do you? I tell you, that gift of helps was just as much a gift of the Spirit as tongues or healing or anything else. You know, help somebody that's in need, you know, all that old-fashioned stuff. Help somebody whose yard needs mowing, and help an old lady get across the street, just being good to people and pitching in and working on the house of God and helping out people that need it. That's what helps me. We need a revival in our day of just some old-fashioned Christian living. We've got it all figured out, boy. We can shout. We can say, "Amen!" We can do a lot of stuff. Do you know what really tells the story on you? What you do when you're outside these walls. Now, I'm not trying to browbeat you tonight. Really, I'm not. I love you. Praise God. This past Thursday, it's just between me and you. I doubt if this will be on radio or anything. I wouldn't want somebody to take it wrong. Just between me and you, okay? This past Thursday, we had 41 people out for visitation. That's good. I praise God for that. That makes me shout on the inside. You know, a few years ago, I heard about Brother Howes, and Jack Howes got the largest Sunday school in the world. Done one of the greatest works probably it's ever been done since the book of Acts. Absolutely amazing. I'm going to try to go back to pastor school in March if it's God's will. It'll amaze you. Boy, the first time I heard about that, I heard they had 5,000 on visitation on Tuesdays. And I said, "My soul, Lord, what in the world wrong with us?" And that made me about want to quit. Until I found out he had 77,000 members. Now, 41 of us is almost 25% of our membership. 5,000 out of 77,000 is just about 6% of the membership. Statistically, we're doing better than he is. And I'm not trying to build us up nor put him down. I'm just saying, folks, we got it going if we'll just lay with it and keep this thing moving. We've got God behind us. God help us to wake up and realize that. Percentage-wise, we probably have more people out working for God, and I know in America, than any church I know anything about. Amen. And I praise God for that. Hallelujah, glory to God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. And I think where you do good, you ought to be bragged on. You ought to be told about it. But I want to say this tonight. It's not as good as it should be. We don't measure ourselves by Brother Hiles. We don't measure ourselves by the church down the road. It don't matter what anybody else does or don't do. We are going to give an account to God for what we do. Some of you look around and say, "Well, so-and-so don't go out and knock on doors. And they don't visit. And they don't do this." I ain't going to do it. You're not supposed to measure yourself by so-and-so. You're going to give account to God one day. We're doing all right in a lot of ways. I praise God for His blessing. I don't understand it, but I praise God for it. And I don't want to do anything that would cut it off or hinder it or stop it or slow it down. My prayer is tonight that every person in this church will say, "I'll go to work for God." I wish you would. I pray you would. Sometimes I lay in bed at night and I wonder about some. And I said, "Lord, what's wrong with them?" A lot of times the Lord showed me what was wrong. Some of you are doing pretty good up to a point. And you was doing real good until I crossed you on something. And the first time I crossed you, you've been going the other way ever since. You need to get on the ball and realize it's the devil tricking you. Get to work for God. Secondly, I want to say tonight, who is willing to work for the cause of God? Not just the church. We ought to work on our church, and if necessary, man, we put some work into this place. I think about some of you tonight as I look across this congregation. Many times have been over backwards, so to speak, to put work into God's house. We've had people even miss work and overtime that they could have got, put money in their pocket, come up here and nail up paneling and put up ceiling and put up insulation and put down floors and all that. And I praise God for it. I'm not trying to be hateful tonight. I'm just saying tonight that every one of us ought to be willing. Can you imagine what a church could get done if everybody 100% were willing to work? I heard about this one preacher told us. He said, my church is 100% willing. And the preacher said, oh, that ain't. He said, they are. He said, my church is 100% willing. He said, well, brother, that's incredible. I've never heard of a church that was 100% willing. How'd you get them like that? He said, 5% is willing to do the work. The other 95% is willing to let them. That's about the way it is. In the average church, you've got a small nucleus. You've got a small minority that's carrying the load, giving the money, footing the bills, building the walls, doing the visiting, doing the praying, doing the working, and 95% sitting there watching. Offering ought to be, it ought to be more than it is. Amen. I bet you there's some old skin flint in here to robbing God. Amen. Praise God for what it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But I'd say there's some old tightwad in here that's stealing money out of the offering. You know, what if we passed these offering plates, you know, and we took around and Taylor and these guys was passing them around, and when it went by you, you reached in and took out $10 and stuck it in your pocket. You say, oh, preacher, I know. That's terrible. That's terrible. Well, that ain't no different than keeping your tithe and not putting it in. That's the same thing. You're stealing it. You're a thief. You say, well, I just can't afford it. I'm having it. It ain't no wonder you're having it rough. Stealing from God. 10% of everything you make already belongs to the Lord. The Bible said the tithe is holy. The tithe is the Lord. Somebody said one time, he said, I want to know what they're doing with my money. It ain't yours after you give it, dummy. Amen. Matter of fact, that 10% ain't yours to start with. Amen. It's God's. I didn't even plan on getting off on that, but I did. It takes work to further the cause of God. I think about the old preachers that's gone in days gone by. And I think about how they got where they was? Working, brother. They said John Wesley rode a horse. Well, 200,000 miles, something like that. A horse, brother. A horse. What would John Wesley do now if he had interstate highways and car? Man, he'd burn the countryside up. These boys up here yesterday, we was getting ready to go out and work on the wine and the beer petition. And these boys come in here and they took off to Asheville and went and preached. And they're always going here and going there. That reminds me of some of those old preachers in days gone by. They didn't have time to waste. They wasn't waiting on the First Baptist to give them an opportunity. They just got out there and found where sinners was and started preaching the gospel to them and took it to them. We're living in a time, brother. We're living in a day that's awful weird. Preachers think the only place you're supposed to preach is in church, behind the pulpit. That's a crazy... I never read nothing like that in the Word of God. Every preacher in the Bible was a street preacher. Every one of them that I've read anything about. As a matter of fact, most of them in the Word of God never did get in a church house. And when they did, they threw them out. They preached on the street. Nowadays, young preacher thinks it's got to be the First Baptist, First Methodist before he'll preach. Ain't no wonder we're in the mess we're in. Bible said over there, and I think it's in the book of Luke, a man had two sons, and he come to him and he said, son, go work. The Bible said, that first son, I think it was the first son, he said, I'll go, and didn't go. And then his other son said, I ain't going. And then he later got to feeling guilty and went ahead and went. A lot of times we've had services where people come to altar and said, oh Lord, I'll work, and then didn't do it. And then others sat back there and said, I don't believe I want to do it. And then later out, God got under conviction, and then they did it. Which hadn't done the will of God? The one that did it. Well, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4 says, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. Jesus said, work while it is day. David was willing to build a house. He was willing to fight the giant. There's no use afraid of being a failure. We ain't got nothing to lose. We're in this world. We're all going to die anyway. I mean, sometimes that scares me. It really does. Sometimes I think about our church getting bigger and the town people looking at us and the city manager and the county, and they are looking at us, whether you realize it or not. They're watching, whether you realize it or not. I go into places all over town, and they say, "What's your name?" I tell them my name, and they look at me like, "Oh, it's you, huh?" And they look at me like that, you know, and I don't know what they're thinking. They may be thinking good, they may not be thinking good. And a lot of times they probably ain't. But they are watching us. They are looking at us. And brother, if we don't do our job, and we don't do the work, we've not just let the Lord down, we've let them down. And we've let the lost sinners down. And we've let the cause of Christ down. And we could come in here and shout to glory and let a world go to hell, and we wouldn't be doing our job. You know, some churches, they get overboard and they just study on doctrine and doctrine and doctrine and doctrine and doctrine. That's all they study. And that's why their services is better than 4 o'clock too. You got to have something aside doctrine. Brother Howe said, "Well, I want you to know it is right. Can't be no other way. It's right." He said, "I disagree with you, preacher. It's right." And they just at each other's throats. Wasn't long, they knocked on the door. The old sinner got under conviction, hit his knees, and got saved. Boy, there's a hugging next, you know, and a crying in there in the house, you know, and everything. They was going down the road, and that guy said, "You know, preacher, I've been thinking about what you said." And he said, "The more I think about it, the more I believe you was right." And Brother Howe said, "You know, I've been thinking about it too, and I don't really know. Maybe I wasn't right." And then they start arguing about it the other way. But you know what 99% of the problem in churches is? People lose their burden for souls, they get in the flesh, and they just want to start an argument in the flesh. And I include myself. I've done that many a time. And God will smoke my heart and say, "Boy, you're something. You Bible scholar, why don't you go out there and win somebody to Jesus?" I met two ladies the other day in Asheville, in the hospital. They met me, I should say. They harassed me, you might say. Would be a better word. I mean, I got it just like this up against a water fountain. And they said, they wanted to know about the Holy Ghost, and they wanted to know about tongues, and they wanted to know about this, and they wanted to know about that. And they said, Brother Danny, our church is tore all to pieces. What should we do? I said, "I don't know. Pray, do. Pray." They didn't have a pastor. I said, "Pray, God will send you one." And they'll say, "We done left the church. What should we do?" I said, "Go to Ralph's." I said, "Do something. To find out where God wants you and get in there." Boy, they began to talk. And you know what the problem was? This one lady was the mother, and the other lady was the daughter. Mother and daughter. And they both left the church over the problem. And she said, "There's another woman in the church that was just thought, man, she had the Holy Ghost, and she was God's divine spokesman, and God was really talking to this woman. And she come and cut up to this other lady, the mother." Now this other lady always sat on the second row, because I think she said she was hard of hearing or something like that. She always sat on the second row. And this woman told her, this other woman came to her, and she said, "God has showed me that you're supposed to start sitting on the back pew." I'm telling you the truth. They told me that the other day. Said, "God told me that you're supposed to start sitting on the back pew because you're wanting too much glory sitting up there on the second pew. The Bible said he that's last, you know, be first last and all that stuff." You know, quoted that verse. "And you're not supposed to set up that far anymore." And she said, "The Lord told her to tell me that." Now you folks know, if you got that much sense, the Lord didn't a bit more tell that woman that. Then he talked to this offering plate or this flyer here today. And they got to looking at each other. And then they said something. They had a few words. And one of the deacons in the church went to this lady, this mother, and told her that she had hurt this other woman's feelings. And that God told him to tell her that she ought to go apologize to that woman. Now, neither one of them people had not a bit more right to do that than anybody in this world. And I want to tell you something. When the women in the church start preaching to each other, you've had it, son. Your church has had it. You better believe. You better listen to that. When these women start preaching to each other, son, she's all over. Until they get right. And God can bless. God don't call one woman to tell the other women what to do and what not to do. That's what God called the preacher for. Amen. And Lord ain't never told me to tell somebody where to say it. That's stupid. You know what's the matter with them people? They ain't busy. They need something to do to keep their mind off of junk like that. They need to get right with God and get out and start knocking on some doors. And then when the sinners come in, they can pray for them to be saved. And they wouldn't sit there and be looking around, seeing who's sitting where, what she got on. And, well, did he do this? Wonder how much he put in the offering plate. Well, who cares? Ain't none of your business. Your job is to work for God. I'll tell you something, folks. The Lord didn't call that deacon to tell that person what to do. Ain't nowhere in the Bible where it says deacons are supposed to tell somebody they're supposed to apologize to somebody else. That's crazy. Matter of fact, I can't find where anybody's got that authority. Well, we ought to work for the cause of God. We really should. We ought to work for the cause of God. Somebody asked me, and I'm going to drop the bomb on you here. You ready? You might as well get ready. Somebody asked me, they've asked me twice. Somebody said, Brother Danny, I just don't like your church for one reason. I said, what's that? They said the women aren't active enough. And a lady asked me one day, she said, I want to know why the women don't do more than they do in your church. And she wasn't ready for the answer I give her. But here it is. They don't want to. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. The reason the women don't do no more, they flat don't want to. I ain't never told one of them not to do nothing for God. I preached my head off trying to get them to do something. You say, but that ain't... Yeah, I know that wasn't what you was talking about. You were talking about getting up here in the spotlight, wasn't you? That's what she's talking about. She's wanting us to get a woman choir leader and let the woman teach the Sunday school classes. And she's wanting us to do all that stuff. I said, well, wait a minute. There's a lot of little old boys and girls out here that ain't got no way to church they could go out and get. And there's a lot of people like that. But you know what? They wouldn't be in the spotlight then. Amen. Now let me say here tonight, let me say something to you. And let me clear something up right here. I've been lied on from time and eternity over this. Probably will still be. I never try to hold anybody back from doing what God wants them to do. I mean, if God tells you to jump up here and swing on this rafter, you help yourself. Just make sure He told you. And make sure your dress don't fly up while you're up there. And put on a burlesque show, because that'd be a good sign it wasn't the Lord told you to do it. Somebody said, what about if the Bible said, let everything have breath, praise the Lord, shout all over the house. If you give a testimony, if a woman says, I praise God for saving me, I thank God for what He's done for me, and all brags on the Lord, I ain't got nothing against that. You do that, help yourself. If I was a woman, I wouldn't do it. But if you want to do it, help yourself. Amen. I've got nothing to say against it. But let me tell you something. When they start preaching to each other, they're out of their place. Mark it down, brother. They're out of their place. I was in a church one night, and a lady stood up over here on this side of church, and all the young people was over here. She had a son that was out of God's will. And she stood up and said, now folks, I just want you to pray for old Thornfield, our son. She said, I just want God to kill him. God kill him. I just want God to kill him if he won't make herself look real spiritual. And everybody said, oh, what's the matter with that woman? And she hadn't done no more, got food and sat down. The lady sitting on the piano said, I'd like to say something. And she just contradicted everything that first woman said. She said, I just want you to know, I thank God for our young people. And I think we ought to build them up. And I think we ought to encourage them. But back that young. And everybody just sitting there saying, oh Lord, how much is this far this going to go on? It killed that service. Neither one of them didn't have no business opening their mouth. She said, I don't agree. Free country, you can disagree if you want to. Won't be the first time you've been wrong. Probably won't be the last. And like I said a while ago, if you give a testimony, I'm not against that. If you want to, if God gives you something to say and you want to praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But God never does put the woman in the place of authority. In the home, in the church, in the government, in the school, or nowhere else. I know we'll suffer for that. We'll suffer for believing that, especially in this day and time. That's a God's truth. That's a Bible. We don't preach the Bible. What we got to preach? We got nothing to stand on. That's our solid rock. That's our foundation. Any of you women want to get more involved? See me at service. These two trailer parks out here on the other side of town. Already got 5 kids wanting to come. And a whole bunch more kids. You know, the Bible said them women, they can work with them kids. If any of you ladies want to get more involved, we'll get you a van and you go fill it up and bring them to Sunday school and we'll give you a class and let you teach them. Amen. You know, an old farmer had an ox and a mule. And the ox got to laying out of work. He stayed at home every day and just eat. And the mule would go out and sweat and do all the work. And he come home one day and the ox said, you've been out there working all day and I'm getting fed just like you are. And the mule said, yeah, but I seen the farmer talking to the butcher on the way over here. And you see, some of you think you're getting by but not working. You're just kind of sitting back. You're getting fed. If you didn't get fed during the Bible conference, you ain't say something wrong with you. I mean, if you didn't get... You get fed. Don't you tell me you don't. You can't use that old excuse here. I just don't get fed, preacher. You get fed. You might get too much. You might get foundered. If you sit back and try to get out of working, I believe I heard the Lord talking to the butcher the other day. And he's going to butcher some of y'all. I mean, an ox, it won't work. And just that's when, you know what a farmer will do? He'll kill him, son, make steaks out of him. Amen. I know tonight that we ought to go to work for God. 2 Chronicles 15:7. Be strong, for your work shall be rewarded. It's better to become bent from hard work than to become crooked from avoiding it. Did you know that? You say, Brother Danny, there ain't no use in us really starting a big work. Lord's coming back. He might not for a while. I was talking about the preacher last night. He had a bunch of revivals scheduled up. 7 years, something like that. And somebody ran up to him and said, preacher, you don't believe the Lord's coming, or you wouldn't schedule all them revivals. And he said something like, what are you going to do if the Lord comes back? Something like that. With all them meetings. And another preacher said, you preach them. You know something? You know something? Somebody asked Martin Luther one day when he was out working. They said, what would you do, Martin Luther, if you knew the Lord is coming today? He said, I'd pay my bills and I'd plant my apple tree and I'd do just what I always do. We ought to work like the Lord ain't coming for another 50 years. And He may not, by the way. I know the popular thing now is to believe the Lord's coming back by 2000. And there's a lot of evidence of that. And there's a lot of support for that view and even Bible support. But we don't know. The Lord may not come back for another 50 years. And some of you that's planning on scooting out of here in a year or two, you're going to be in a mess if you don't. If the Lord don't come. But you see, if we work like crazy and then He does come, we ain't lost nothing. We ought to work like He ain't coming for 100 years, but live like He's coming tonight. The smallest deed is bigger than the greatest intention. I know a lot of people, they're always saying, boy, I'm going to, preacher. I mean it, I'm going to. Just as soon as I get a few bills paid off, and just as soon as I just get a little more time, oh, I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to work. But you notice they never do. The devil will keep you busy. The devil will keep you doing something to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. I appreciate you at work. These girls, Sister Dion and Vivian, is up here yesterday. They could have been doing something else. They went out all over Stump Town and went to little kids to get them to ride the bus. And they had 43, is that right? Had 43 on that bus this morning. If them girls didn't go out and do that, a bunch of little old kids would never hear the gospel. It just boils down to work, folks. That's what it boils down to.
We ain't got nothing attractive to draw them in. We ain't getting the celebrities. We're not getting the famous quartets. We ain't got nothing else. We're going to have to just flat out go out and work and get them. We ain't even got much of a preacher for them to listen to. We ain't got much to offer. We're going to have to flat go out and get them. And then when they come in here, we can give them the greatest thing that's ever been. And that's the story of Jesus and His love. But see, they don't know that yet. We have to go get them. Let's bow our heads for a prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now tonight, there may be somebody here tonight that ain't serving the Lord. Maybe you're not even saved. While we make a song ready tonight, there may be someone like that that would say, "Brother Danny, I'm tired of fighting it. I'm tired of arguing with the Lord. I'm surrendering my life to Him tonight. I know that my time is short, and I've only got one life, and I'll live it for Him." There may be a Christian. Maybe you ain't been witnessing on your job. I know some of you, your work schedule and the things that you're involved in hinders you. But that's no excuse for not doing something for God. That's no excuse. Don't you say, "I won't let you do nothing." I'd shout if you did. Father, I pray in Jesus' name You'd move. Lord, I've tried to obey You tonight. And my conscience is clear. And I pray You'd help me to practice what I preach. I pray You'd help me to be willing to work double for the house of my God. Not for the Baptist, not for the Methodist. But for the house of God. The one that saved me, kept me out of hell, bled and died for me on the cross. There's no price too great to pay for You, Lord. And I pray for our church. God, I hope these people tonight didn't think I was trying to be ugly. Lord, You know my heart. I love them. I wouldn't hurt one of them for anything in this world. But God, I pray they'd take the challenge. And I pray they'd take the rebuke. And God, they'd line up with the book and the will of God for their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Page 81.
Thank God for some that's already come. If you need to come, just come on right now.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood
God help you
was
tonight.
Shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb.
God help you tonight.
Of God I come.
Sing one more verse, Brother Roy. How we sing, won't you come?
Just
you need to come tonight, just come on. Get things settled between you and Jesus.
And waiting not to rid
yes.
Thy soul
yes, amen.
Of one dark blood. To Thee,
amen.
Whose
amen.
Blood can cleanse,
amen. Amen.
He's fallen,
amen. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Of God, I come.
May God help you tonight, friend.
I come.
All right. While the piano just plays softly, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. While these are on the altar tonight, I know that many of you made decisions right there in your heart tonight where you stand. Maybe it's the witness. Maybe that boss man on the job. Maybe them people you work around. Maybe God's been dealing with you about witness to them. You've been putting it off and thinking somebody else will do it. They may go to hell. They may go to hell if we don't do what we're supposed to do. The Bible says, "Be strong and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Maybe someone else here tonight say, "Preacher, I'm not ready to meet Jesus. If I died right now, I don't even know where I'd go, heaven or hell. Preacher, I'm scared. What should I do?" Turn to the Lord Jesus with all your heart. Repent and believe the gospel. The Bible said, "Thou shalt be saved." You say, "What if it ain't my time?" The Lord said, "Behold, the day is the day of salvation. Whosoever will, let him come. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? Is God dealing with you? Why don't you just come up and get out of your seat right now? Come on down here to this altar and get it settled between you and Jesus. We're going to wait just a few seconds before we go. Anyone, anyone, anywhere, right quick. Come on, slip out of your seat and come. If you want to be saved, the Lord can save you right here tonight. He spoke. He's dealing with you. Why don't you come? We'll wait just about 10 seconds before we pray. Come on. Come on right now. Let God help you. Come on. Don't put it off, friend. Just come on right now. Father, we thank You for these that have come. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done. And Lord, I pray that You'll help us all, not just to be hearers of the Word, but doers. Bless this week. Lord, help us to go to work. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you go, I'd like to remind you that we'll meet here tomorrow night at 6:30. Now, this everything we've got to do has got to be done by Friday. And that's when they want these names turned in. So we only got 1 week. And if you know anybody, church, if you know anybody who lives in the city limits of Marion and you're not sure that they're registered to vote, you ought to make it a point to let us know, or go by and see them, or contact them. We got some roving registers that can go to their house and register them right there. They don't even have to go to town and get them registered to vote. There's a battle going on right here in this town. And you wouldn't believe the money that's being pumped into the other side from outside forces. And it's highly organized. And it's cynical. And like the mafia is almost trying to move in. And we need to fight it. And I believe there's enough of God's people in this town. Amen. And I know God's big enough to win the victory. And it's so close that it could easily go. Whoever works the hardest is going to win this fight. The devil's people, the Lord. It's just like Philistines and Israelites. That's about what it amounts to. God give us some Davids. Take our sword and our sling and go out and fight the giant. Be brave. Tomorrow night, 6:30. And don't forget the prayer meeting Tuesday night. Services this week. Amen. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed. After this, shake hands with one another and you'll be at liberty to go. I ask Brother Jack Sparks to dismiss us.